Hey guys, welcome to The Adapt Effect. This is a podcast designed to give you an approachable take to help you grow in all things health, wellness, and fitness. I'm your host, Amber Dupree, and you are currently listening to episode 10. On today's podcast, we're going to learn how many calories you should be eating for fat loss and exactly how to speed up your metabolism. Yes, that's right. I said speed up your metabolism. It is possible. You can do it. And I'm going to give you three small things that you can start doing to help you in that matter. Okay, so let's jump right on in. So the number one question I get in terms of nutrition is how many calories should I be eating in a day to lose weight, to lose fat, to be in a caloric deficit? And honestly, it all starts with how many calories you are currently eating. So how do you know how many calories you're currently eating? I know every day kind of has its own variables. It looks different to everyone every single day. But a very easy way to go about this, which I've previously mentioned on my podcast, if you want to refer back to how to lose, gain, and maintain weight. However, I'll give you a short snippet on how to do exactly that. So what you want to do is track everything you eat and drink for 14 days. Add all those numbers up. So add the full 14 days. Make sure you're truly tracking everything you put into your mouth. Be realistic with yourself. And then what you want to do, guys, is you want to divide. You want to add those numbers up and then divide that big number by 14. And this is going to tell you about how many calories you're eating a day. Okay. So it'll be an average of that number, but it'll be a very good average. Okay. So next, what I want you to do, this is the important part. Next, what I want you to do is estimate the number of calories you need to maintain your weight by using, there's this guy, his name's Alan, I think it's Alan Argan, something like that. Whatever, he's been in the industry for 20 years. He's had a lot of success with this strategy. I know Jordan Syatt uses it as well. So if you follow him, you'll know about this theory as well. Plus, I've had loads and loads and loads of success with it with my own clients as well. So it's definitely a strategy that works. But what I want you guys to do is estimate the number of calories you need to maintain your weight based off of this formula. Okay, so like I said, this is Alan's formula, but it does work. So if you are not working out at all, what I want you to do, and again, guys, this is going to help you find your maintenance calories. So like I said, you can add all the numbers up for 14 days, track everything for 14 days, add that number up, and then divide it by 14. That will be your what you're actually eating on a daily basis. That number will be what you're actually eating on a daily basis. But to find where you need to be for a maintenance level, what you can do is say you have zero workouts. Say you're not working out at all. I want you to take your weight and then multiply your weight by 10. That's if you do not work out at all. So for example, say you, I don't know, weigh 185 pounds. If you take 185 and you multiply that by 10, that's 1,850 calories, okay? So that would be, if you're 185 pounds, 1,850, that would be how many calories a day you need to eat to maintain your weight. Okay, so now not everybody doesn't work out. Say you work out 1 to 2 times a week. If you're working out 1 to 2 times a week, I want you, again, take your weight and times it by 12. Okay, so again, say you're 185 pounds, right? Take that, if you work out once or twice a week, take your weight and times it by 12. Okay, that's gonna be like 2,220 calories, I'm pretty sure, if my calculations are correct. Okay, so that will be how many calories you need to eat to maintain your weight if you work out once or twice a week. So if you work out more than twice a week, so say you work out 3 to 4 times a week, again, take your weight and now you're going to times your weight by 14. And then that number will be how many calories you need to eat a day to maintain your weight. If you're working out 5 or more times a week, you're going to take your weight and you're going to times that number by 16. And then that will give you how many calories, once again, you need to be eating to maintain your weight. So why did I give you both of these ways to find a maintenance level? So in the very beginning of this episode, guys, I said, track everything for 14 days, add all that up, and then divide it by 14. And that will tell you what you're actually eating. So that will tell you the, on average, what you're eating, how many calories you're eating in a day. So now what I want you to do is look at that number, and then depending on how many times you work out in a week, look at that number, okay? So just off of your maintenance level, are you eating more than your maintenance level? And that's why you're gaining weight. Are you eating less than your maintenance level? And that's why you're losing weight. Are you eating at your maintenance level? And maybe that's why you're not seeing the progress you want to see. Okay, so now we have two very important things we need to be able to put you into a fat loss phase, to start putting you into a caloric deficit, okay? But I had to explain those two variables. I wanted you guys to see what you're actually doing, which is maybe why you're maintaining, why you're gaining weight, why you're losing weight, what you're actually doing, and then how many calories exactly you need to be able to maintain your current weight, okay? So now, if we want to lose weight, obviously we have to be in a deficit from that number. So say, you know, you're working out, we'll just use the example of zero workouts. So with zero workouts, you're supposed to multiply your weight by 10. That's your maintenance level. That's how many calories a day you need to eat in order to maintain, not lose, not gain. Okay? So once we compare those two numbers, the calories you are currently eat versus the number of calories you need to maintain your weight, look at how far off you are, okay? If you're eating more than your target number, you'll gain weight. If you eat less, you're going to lose weight, okay? So if you're not already in a caloric deficit, I recommend 500 is a lot. I always start my clients out slow and steady, always wins the race. Never do more than 500, but to be in a daily deficit, start subtracting calories from your maintenance level, okay? So start subtracting calories from that number that said that's how many calories you need to be eating in a day, okay? So if I were you, you can start subtracting anywhere from 200 to 500. Try not to go above 500. That's going to put a lot of stress on your body. And then again, you have to have somewhere to go. So to start so fast right off the bat is never a good thing, okay? Now, say you don't want to do all of that work. There's a, I guess you can call a mentor of mine, Jordan Syatt. He has another strategy. And guys, there's tens of millions of strategies on the internet. I'm just giving you what I have seen great results from with my own clients, credible people I trust, and what I've done with myself over the years, okay? So Jordan Syatt has a similar variation. So in order to calculate your caloric deficit, what you need to be eating to be in a caloric deficit, Jordan Syatt, and I've even told my clients who maybe I don't have a long time to work with them. Maybe I just have an initial consultation with them, and I know they're probably not going to actually buy or something like that, but I still want to help them, right? Or maybe it's just an online client who just has reached out to me and just needs a piece of advice or a general rule of thumb, okay? What Jordan Syatt does, and again, we've seen a lot of success with this, is take your goal body weight. So think back to a time where you have just been very, very, very happy, very pleased. You felt good. You looked good. And think of what that ideal body weight looked like for you. So for some people, it might be 130 pounds. Other people might be 180, 200, whatever that looks like to you. So think of a weight where you're like, man, I really want to get back to that. And you can tie in that number, that weight, because you've been there before, right? So you know you know your specific body, you know how your body runs off of that weight, you know how you felt, you know your energy levels at that weight. So please be realistic with yourself and pick an ideal body weight to where you're like, wow, I really want to get back to that. And guys, this can't be something to where you're like, you know, maybe you've gained 100 plus pounds, you're like, oh, maybe you're 250 pounds now. You're like, oh, I want to get back down to 100 pounds. Please, please, please be realistic with your goals. Because if not, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Okay, so be very realistic. So basically what you have to do is, again, think of a time in your life when you've been the happiest with your weight and be realistic and think of that number, whatever that number looks like to you. Now, take that number and multiply it by 12. Okay. So just multiply your ideal body weight by 12, okay? And whatever that number is, that's going to be your caloric deficit. That's going to be the caloric deficit where you need to stay at in order to lose weight. Now, say your caloric deficit is 1600 calories, okay? I don't like telling people stay strictly 1600 calories. Give yourself a range. Let it be, you know, 1590 to like 1700. I don't know. Give yourself some wiggle room, up to like 150 calories or so. That way you're not beating yourself up and obsessing over tracking, right? So that's a sure way to just say, you know, I stayed in my caloric range for today. I did a good job, all right? Or if you go over that caloric range, you're like, well, you know, I can't really say I had a great day with my calories that way, okay? So guys, those are the two ways you can find out if you're in a caloric deficit and where you need to be in a caloric deficit, okay? So, like I said, those are very two credible sources that I know I've personally done with my clients, I've personally done with myself, and these are two huge mentors I look up to who also incorporate it with their hundreds and thousands of clients as well. Okay, guys? Now that we've calculated and found out how to be in a caloric deficit and how to lose weight, that's it, guys. That's what it comes down to. Let's talk about what you need to consider before entering a fat loss phase. And now, if I only equipped you guys with the tools you needed to lose weight, I wouldn't feel like a good coach. Even though majority of you guys aren't my clients, I wouldn't feel good with myself by just giving you those fundamental tools, okay? Because in terms of overall health, it goes much deeper than that, okay? And if the truth of the matter is, if you're always in a caloric deficit, you're always chasing, you know, this goal weight or this, you always want to lose weight, you always want to be in a deficit, you always, you know, want to be smaller, tinier, truth of the matter is you're messing a lot of things up for your body. You're messing up your hormones, you're messing up your metabolism, you're pissing away any muscle you have built. So that's why I really want to bring up your metabolism, okay? Your metabolism is something you largely need to consider before you enter a fat loss phase. You need to take a step back. You need to really self-evaluate and see where you're realistically at, okay? And I'm going to tell you guys exactly how to do that. So your metabolism, just like anything else in the human body, guys, your metabolism can adapt, okay? Now, there's many, many, many variables that come into play in terms of your metabolism and your BMR. And like you guys have learned on previous episodes, or if you're just now tuning in, your BMR, basically what that is, it stands for your basal metabolic rate. And all that means, guys, is it's a bunch of different variables that come into play, but your BMR, your basal metabolic rate, tells you how many calories you were to burn if you were to sit in a chair for 24 hours and do nothing. So if you don't move from your bed, if you don't move a muscle, that's how many calories you're going to burn. Now, obviously, you can burn more calories throughout your day through digestion, through walking around, through physical activity, but you still will, and your body will burn calories by doing absolutely nothing, okay? Just to stay alive and to remain functional, all right? So many things affect your basal metabolic rate and your metabolism. And the three things I found that affect your metabolism and your BMR the most are the type of training you're doing or lack of training. I'll throw that in there too. How you eat, how much you eat, and number three is sleep. Okay, so number one, type of training you're doing or the lack of training. Number two, how you eat, how much you eat. Number three, your sleep. All right, and I'm gonna break down these a little bit more in depth as we go on throughout this episode. That way you guys can know what I mean and see exactly how to start, firing up your metabolism and getting it working a little bit more efficiently, okay? So, number one, you can increase your metabolism by adding muscle to your body. First and foremost, that's it, guys. This is why strength training is superior, super, super superior in terms of, I don't know, cardio, right? So, for every pound of muscle you add to your body, you burn more calories. And there's like so many different studies saying exactly how many calories you burn per pound of muscle. So I don't feel confident and comfortable giving you guys an exact number because it varies for each individual, you know. So for some people, there's studies that say it's like 20 calories more. Others will say it's up to 150 calories per pound of muscle. So it's just, It varies greatly, so but even if it is just 20 calories, that's 20 more calories you're burning by not doing a damn thing. So that's a huge win in my book, right? So doing cardio, this is something I really want to stress out to you guys. This is why strength training is so superior. Doing cardio might burn more calories during the duration of your workout. However, lifting weights is what speeds up your metabolism. Okay, so guys, you gotta stop going for this quick fix. You gotta stop looking for chasing the sweat sesh at the gym, okay? You might not be dripping in sweat, this, you know, lifting weights the same way you would by doing 40 minutes of HIIT cardio. However, long term, you're going to reap so many more benefits by lifting weights, okay? So never, ever, ever go for the quick fix. When you're strength training, your body basically sends signals to your brain telling it that it needs to build more muscle to sustain the stress that you were just putting it in during your lift, right? This, guys, again, is why strength training is superior. So after your workout, what this means, what this does to your body is for the next 24 to 48 hours, your body will actually be burning more calories and working harder to, you know, repair and build muscle. This, again, I cannot stress this point enough, guys, is why strength training is superior to cardio. And when I say strength training, I mean like legit strength training. I don't mean trying to intertwine circuits and HIIT training and plyometrics. Well, I mean, true plyometrics wouldn't be a bad idea, but nobody does true plyometrics correctly, so whatever. But this is why you shouldn't be incorporating, you know, all these hours of HIIT training and steady state cardio. Actual strength training, guys, is what's going to allow you to put on quality muscle. So this doesn't mean always sticking to muscular endurance type exercises, right? To where you're taking 10, 20, 30 second rests and just pumping out all these reps and pumping out reps and pumping out reps and little to no rest because you're constantly chasing this like sweat session, right? I see this all the time. People feel like if they're not sweating in the gym, they're not getting a good quality workout. And honestly, guys, it's quite the opposite. You will definitely be sweating from, you know, lifting weights, but a lot of times you won't be leaving the gym completely drenched in sweat unless you've had like a totally brutal leg day or something. You know what I mean? But putting on quality muscle is definitely superior to cardio, okay? So people get caught up thinking that they have a slow metabolism, but God, guys, the truth is, your metabolism, like I said earlier, it's not just one variable, right? It includes many variables that you can alter. So stop thinking, oh, poor me, my whole family has had a bad metabolism, my whole family is overweight, my whole family has bad genetics, my whole family this, my whole family that, I'm stuck with a bad metabolism or a slow metabolism. Guys, that is not the case. You have to give your body a reason to speed up its metabolism, okay? Just like anything else in your body, your metabolism can adapt, it can change, it can grow with you, okay? So one way, like I said, to speed up your metabolism is getting stronger, okay? This brings me to my second point. Please, 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 please. I feel like I say this in every episode, but if it's at the cost of you guys understanding this concept, it's worth it. Please stop trying to combine muscle building with losing weight. Like, moment of silence, stop. If you're trying to combine building muscle with building endurance, your body will always favor the endurance, okay? And it's always going to be counteractive, and it will literally leave you just chasing your tail like a dog, okay? So to my second point, as you begin to strength train, you need to be increasing calories. Okay, you can't diet and speed up your metabolism. I know in a perfect world, every client always says this. They're like, I want to lose weight and build muscle. Stop. Like, pick one, be comfortable being uncomfortable in that phase. I know a lot of my clients, as soon as they say, okay, you know, we're gonna start working on your metabolism and slowly start increasing calories, they look at me bug-eyed, like, wait, I came to you to lose weight. This is not what I want to do. But the truth of the matter is, guys, I'm helping you in the long term, okay? Because once we begin pulling calories and I do put you in a deficit, it will be much easier for you if we have slowly increased your metabolism and your calories, okay? And I know it's scary, but just know it doesn't need to be drastic either, okay? But you need to improve your metabolism and build a good foundation before you do enter that fat loss phase. And I can't stress this enough. So many clients come to me all the time saying, I want to lose weight. And I look at where they're at and how many calories they're currently eating. And I would be doing them a huge disservice if I took the quick fix, took their $50 for the training session, gave them the information they needed and say, okay, yeah, sure. Multiply your dream body weight by 12 and that's your caloric deficit. And that's how you're going to lose weight. I'd be doing you guys a huge disservice by not first building your foundation and helping you fix your metabolism, okay? Basically, when you slowly increase calories, that's reverse dieting. So you hear that term a lot, reverse dieting this, reverse dieting that, and that's all that is when you slowly start to increase calories. And by slowly increasing calories, your body can adapt and understand. It's kind of under new stresses from your workouts, right? So once it's under new stresses from your workouts, it will then begin to learn to use these calories for instant energy instead of saving it as stored energy, which basically, guys, that's what fat is stored energy, okay? So this is why reverse dieting, you'll hear it, a lot of bodybuilders talk about this, but that's why it's so important. Because you want to teach your body that it can start using these extra calories and it's going to benefit your metabolism and make you burn more calories in the long run, okay? Not only that, but in terms of building muscle, if you want to be building muscle, you need to be slowly increasing your caloric intake as well. That way, your body, again, can start building muscle, start ramping up your metabolism, all right? And one thing I really want to make sure before I move on is you guys understand that you need to be doing actual strength training in the gym if you're trying to increase your metabolism. So don't be scared to take longer rest periods. That way, say you do take 2 to 5 minute rest periods, you're able to give that next set 100% again or 80% again. That way you can really build some lean quality muscles, some lean muscle density, okay? You don't need to always have a program that you're following that's has you on this crazy high repetition, 15, 20 reps, 30 second rest. Guys, if you wanna put on quality muscle, tone it down a bit. Try doing 5x5s. Try doing 5 sets of 5 reps, okay? And just lift heavy freaking weight. Just go in, pick some compound lifts, do 5 sets of 5 repetitions, really pushing your limits, ensuring you obviously have good form, of course, but that's how you're going to build that quality muscle. And if you want to build muscle and if you want to help your metabolism, that's how you need to be doing it, okay? And you guys have to learn to stop worrying so much about the scale going up and down. You know how I want you to measure your results from strength training? Are you getting stronger week over week? That is the number one way. Who cares what the hell the scale is saying? Go into the gym, do a deadlift. A week, 2 weeks goes by, do that deadlift again. Are you getting stronger or are you getting weaker? Okay. Do you have enough fuel in your tank to drive you to your workout? Do you have enough energy? Are you eating enough calories to get stronger? Okay. These are the questions you need to be asking yourself, not why the hell is the scale going up? Who cares? Like, there's so many factors that go into that. I want you guys to start measuring your results for strength training, at least, based off of, are you getting stronger or not? Okay? That's how it is. That's how it goes. That's how you need to be measuring that result. I mean, there's several ways to be measuring it, but that's one sure way. Okay? So, as you increase calories, what I've seen from clients is that most of them are not eating enough protein. So when I'm telling my clients to start increasing their calories, and this is something, like I said, it's not drastic, guys. It's maybe 50 calories to 100 calories, depending on that person, where they're at, where I see them going. I'm telling them to slowly start increasing their calories 50 to 100 per week. That way we can vamp up their metabolism. But what I'm telling them to do is increase their calories most of the time by protein, right? So a lot of people, like I said, a lot of the clients I've worked with, if they have any deficiency in their diet, it's almost always protein. A lot of people aren't eating enough protein. If you don't know how much protein you're supposed to be eating, what I want you to do is take your body weight, and you can multiply anywhere by 0.8 to 1 gram. So take your body weight, multiply it in the whatever variation you want, 0.8 up to a gram, and that's how much protein, realistically, ideally, your body should be having, okay? But yeah, so protein, another thing I wanted to point out about protein, and honestly, I can make just an entire series off of protein, but when you're increasing calories, the reason, one of the major reasons I tell my clients to increase their protein intake when we increase their calories is because protein is a higher thermogenic. Okay, it has a higher thermogenic ability than carbs do or than fat does. And it allows the body to build muscle. Okay, so all around, it's helping your metabolism, right? So that's why I'm always going to opt to get them in their optimal protein range as opposed to, you know, let's add more fats or carbs first. I always, 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 always want to make sure that they're in that optimal protein range for their body, their height, their size, okay? So now my third and my final point when it comes to helping increase your metabolism, sleep, okay? And I know I just said that and probably a bunch of y'all just rolled your eyes like, okay, yeah, whatever, I'm gonna tune out now. But don't tune me out, guys. This might be common sense to some of you. Yeah, I know I need sleep, but a lot of us aren't getting the sleep we need, okay? So there's several studies done to prove that if you're stressed out, which even if you don't think you're stressed out, guys, working out, guess what that does to your body? It stresses it out. That's literally what working out is, okay? Puts your body in a below optimal state to burn fat. So you're already, your body's already stressed out, so it's already at a below optimal state to burn fat. Guess what a lack of sleep does? It only aids that, okay? Poor sleep is bad for hormones. It's bad for your hormonal regulation. Creates basically a profile that makes it very, very, very hard to build muscle. And your body basically just has enough energy to get you through the day. Okay, this is never an optimal state that you want to be in, right? So when I get a new fat loss client, before I allow them to restrict calories and essentially lose weight, I always add before I take away. Every single time I'm looking at what they, where they're at and what I can add before we really start taking away. And like I said, this is a huge kind of mental fuck for a lot of my clients because I am increasing calories, I am adding sleep, I am adding strength training. And they're like, well, what the heck, Amber? I came to you to lose weight. Why are we doing the opposite, it seems like, of what my goal is? And it's strictly because long-term benefits will every single time outweigh short-term goals. I promise you, I'm helping you guys out in the long run. You always have to think of fitness as a long-term thing. It can never be short-term. If it's short-term, you're going to lose every single time. And that's a promise. Every single time. If you're only looking for short-term benefits, you're going to be just chasing your tail like a dog, okay? So, like I said, it's definitely the biggest battle mentally for clients when I'm telling them we're going to increase calories. But like I said, it's going to help them build their metabolism and it's going to have them somewhere to go. So I'm adding strength training, I'm adding the muscle, I'm adding sleep, I'm adding, you know, more nutritious, more nutritional dense foods. So if you have a coach who's taking you in this direction, trust the process, guys. You cannot always be in a caloric deficit, and you have to understand that your body's main function is to adapt and to find homeostasis. So you have to always have somewhere to go. If right off the bat you're just pulling and taking away, it's so restrictive that it's not sustainable for your body. And your body will eventually, I mean, your body's, like I said, main function is to adapt. So not that it will shut down, but it won't be working at its optimal capacity, right? And that's what we want, guys. We want your body to be feeling good, looking good, working at its optimal capacity. That way it can take you longer and further in the long run, okay? All right, guys, so those are the three things to help speed up your metabolism. A little recap, it's the type of training you do or lack of training. So again, hit it hard with the weights. Girls, stop being so scared to lift heavy. Grow a little booty, grow some hamstrings, grow some shoulders. I promise you're doing yourself a favor, okay? How much you eat, what you eat, that's going to affect your metabolism, and then sleep. is going to largely affect your metabolism. And if you don't know how much sleep you need to be getting, rule of thumb, 7 hours, all right? And turn your damn cell phones off. Get your mind mentally ready to go to bed. Like, make sure you're actually falling into deep REM sleep. So it's not like, oh, I laid in bed for 8 hours last night. No, allow your body to actually rest. That's why meditation and stuff like that is so, like, trendy right now. It's because it allows you to get into that deeper layer of rest. And to kind of wash out all the bullshit that surrounded you on a day-to-day basis, right? So please, please, please prioritize sleep. And I know that's a lot easier said than done, but sleep has to be something very high on your priority list if you want to speed up your metabolism, all right? So, guys, that pretty much sums up the show. I wanted to give a huge thank you to all of you that took the time out of your day to learn, grow, and adapt with me. For more of me, go ahead and follow my personal IG at amber.dupree. Dupree is spelled D-U-P-R-E-E-E. I had to add a third E because the handle with two E's was taken by some bitch. No, I'm just kidding. But that's basically where I post workouts, health and fitness tips, and I really just express myself. Guys, please, if you like what I'm saying, subscribe. That way you can have the notifications for every time I'm releasing a new podcast. Again, my podcast will be released every Wednesday and Sunday at 6 p.m. So subscribe if you like what I say, if you like my message. Tell a friend, tell your mom, tell your dad, tell your dog. I don't care. Leave me a rating and a review. That way I can continue to give you guys the good old fitness knowledge. All right, guys. I'll see you next week.